It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Friday, Cofield and Company. Danny Smythe is in today as the company. So we're here for the next 3 hours, our Friday home, Treasure Island, getting ready for football season. The Burbs will be in a little bit. Patrick Burbert, risk supervisor at the Sportsbook. Remember, book is open 24-7 when the windows are closed, and they're open most of the day. Then you got the 24-7 kiosk you can play with. So, ton of stuff going on today. We're going to get back into the National Football League as we get another update on another quarterback that Devontae Adams is talking about as wishing he was a Raider. I don't get it. It's this thing is so weird. We've got a review of the arena coming up. That is a show on ESPN Las Vegas on Wednesdays. Why it's not on 5 days a week is beyond me. Greg Salerno, don't laugh. Danny Smythe's laughing. What's the problem?
No,
it's an award-winning show.
I keep telling him he needs a five-day-a-week show.
He does. I mean, we also need him from time to time as the company, so Salerno helps us out. And where is he today? He should be available. He's like lives right in the vicinity, right, in one of the hotels down here. But, yeah, we're going to do a review of what happened on that show on Wednesday, which I found titillating. Others were probably vomiting in the audience, so something to look forward to. Big weekend. We're going to get into a fight that's going down. That'll be in the 5 o'clock hour when we compare and contrast the fight with the All-Star game for the WNBA. But I think the biggest headline coming out here is what's going on with the All-Star game and the skills competition, where just like the NBA, the WNBA has a three-point shooting contest. And it started to get hyped up a little bit yesterday because of who's not in it. Who is not participating in this WNBA All-Star Weekend three-point shooting contest?
Caitlin Clark.
And Sabrina Ionescu, which I think is a big deal with Sabrina. It doesn't always have to be about Caitlin, even though it mostly is about Caitlin. And I think that's why a lot of the growth has happened, although there's a weird denial from WNBA folks because they don't want to hurt old feelings. But first on Ionescu, the NBA thought it was wise to have Steph Curry go against Sabrina in a three-point shooting contest. Now, Steph, to my knowledge, has almost never been, I'll have to look it up, how many times he's been in the regular three-point shooting contest in the NBA. But Sabrina's not in her own league's three-point shooting contest. Caitlin Clark is not in it. Why is this happening?
I don't know. I wish both of them were in it. I think it's going to be fun to watch Ionescu and Curry, but yeah, I believe Sabrina should be going up against her fellow WNBA players and get a championship that way.
Sabrina's one of the biggest stars in the WNBA, relatively new player. I know older players will bristle at that. Clearly, Caitlin Clark has brought so many new viewers and, you know, with the light assistance, but although picking up in terms of the attention she gets, but some help from Angel Reese, and early on there was some help from Cameron Brink because, well, they had ready-made stars and names coming out of college, just like the NBA used to, but now people don't stay around, and, you know, male players don't stay around in college basketball for 3 and 4 years to build up a name and build up hype, but women's college basketball still has that. Now, yesterday we started to rant and rave, and I started to yell about how can the WNBA do this, but now we're finding out that Caitlin Clark elected to not be in the three-point shooting contest, which I also think is a big mistake. Am I wrong?
No. Obviously she needs some... Well, she's playing in the All-Star game, so she's going to be around there anyway. She's not at home resting just yet. That's coming up after the All-Star game. So I think with all the hype around her and her being the great three-point shooter that she is, she should be in it, but it's okay for her to not be in it because, I mean, even from an NBA standpoint, we saw LeBron James' insane dunks in the high school slam dunk contest, which he won, and he's never participated in one in the NBA. So you don't always have to compete in it, but it would be fun to see her in it.
At the beginning of your career, you do. And it's not like the NBA was desperate or in, you know, desperate straits when LeBron came to the league, but that would have been a good thing for him to do early on. The WNBA is still very much in the growth phase, and congrats. It looks like they're going to get a big bump up in the TV deal. It's still not big enough.
Right.
They're not going to make, for a prorated 40 games or 44-game season, which we're talking about, they're still not going to make the NBA money
they're
hoping for. So this is still an effort to get more attention, grow the game, get more, if it's not TV money, get more money at the gate. I think it's a mistake on the part of Caitlin Clark and her reps to say no to the three-point shooting contest, and I think it's a bigger mistake by the WNBA. I mean, I guess you can't force someone to do it, but you can force someone to do it. And they should force her and Sabrina to do it. This is a gross, gross misstep.
Which one do you think is a bigger quote-unquote mistake? Caitlin Clark not participating or Ionescu going against Curry?
How is Sabrina against Curry a mistake?
Well, because she is participating in a three-point contest, just not against WNBA players.
Well, she should be competing against. She didn't win. So it's not like, hey, I accomplished all I needed to accomplish. I beat the, you know, arguably the best three-point shooter in the history of men's basketball. You didn't win. Go destroy the women.
Right.
I think it's a terrible mistake. I think Team Clark is way off here. The WNBA is spineless. And here's the other thing. Well, what would the complaint be? You're playing in the All-Star game against Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
You have 5 weeks off.
Yep.
You got plenty of rest coming up.
Yeah, and
this is about building the league. And for Caitlin Clark personally, money. Money. We don't know how this is going to work out, Danny. I think she's trending towards becoming a top 10 player in the league. She absolutely has to get some help from the organization. I think they need to put her off the ball at times and have her play the two and also play point guard. Her teammates got to catch up to her in terms of the pace. She's got to get better in judging when to throw a pass and not to throw a pass. She cleans up the turnovers. She's probably going to be somewhere in the, you know, in the next couple of years, 21 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. There's never an end to the money that can be coming in. You go out, and whether you win or lose the three-point shooting contest, you put on a show, that's more of ensuring your future.
Well, and participants get money for being in that three-point contest, but it's a drop in the bucket. Just by participating, you get about $1,000, and if you win, you get $2,500. Is that enough to change someone, to change their mind and get them to participate? I guess not, if Caitlin Clark isn't willing to do it. And we saw videos already coming out of her at practice for the All-Star. So she's there. She's around the team and everything. Yeah, why not? But the pay's not there.
It's stupid. And yet I will give you something a little later on. There's the smallest part of me that is thinking Caitlin and Team Caitlin continue to see these veiled references to it's not all Caitlin who's grown the league. I don't even know why that needs to be said. I don't know who's all sassy and freaking insecure that they need to be shouted out all the time that we were the building blocks. Who cares? It comes off as really dopey and useless. And who are you punching down at? So that gives me a little bit of an angle thinking maybe Clark's like, you know what? I'm not going to help out. Hey, vet, you do it yourself. You're right, I didn't do it. You do it yourself. Yeah, I'll stay out of the three-point shooting contest just to stick it to you. I don't know that she's doing that, but we'll build that case in a little bit. Up next, though, we flip the page. We get to a lot of NFL as Mark McMillan back in town. Chef Mark McMillan, former Eagle Mark McMillan, as we'll talk some NFL and what's going on with his chefing in just a few. All right, back here at Cofield & Company, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Danny Smythe is with us. James with the setup. Let's go out to, I think, Henderson today, as he's not traipsing around the country. He's been in Pennsylvania a lot, back in sort of his home area, Philly, even though he's from L.A., Compton. Mark McMillan, the former Eagle and 10-year NFL player. Chef Mark is with us. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Steve? Man, it's been a while. I miss you, man. I miss you, my guy.
I know. We never get to see each other. Your entire June and half of your July was filled with road trips. A lot of the time was spent in southeast Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I was in southeast Pennsylvania from Lancaster to Hershey to Jersey. So I was all over Philly, man. I went to Delaware as well. So I was there for like a good 2 weeks. So I came home, and thankfully I still have a house here, man.
I was going to say, did you miss here, or did you want to stay in Southeast Pennsylvania and South Jersey?
You know, I wanted to stay because I got a chance to see all my teammates. I got a chance to see one of my heroes growing up was Wilbert Montgomery, the longtime running back for the Eagles. You know, he was one of the first guys that kind of took me under my wings when I got drafted. And, you know, but just growing up, watching them in Super Bowls against the Raiders, you know, it's pretty cool to see Wilbert Montgomery.
So weird news that came out today, maybe it was actually yesterday, but weird news that the Sixers are having trouble getting work done for a new arena, which I find kind of interesting. I don't think their arena now is that old, but that now Jersey is trying to step in and give some competition. What do you think about the Philly Sixers of Camden?
You know, a lot of people are upset. First, they were going to move it. There were some talks of them moving it downtown Philly, which everybody was like, where are you going to find space at, as well as parking? And we know how crowded it is already downtown Philly, and now the news come out. You know, their facility is already across the water in New Jersey, so I can see that happening. But like I said, it wouldn't be the Philadelphia 76ers anymore. It'd be the New Jersey Sixers, so I don't know if Philly fans will go for that.
Yeah, I think the ease of getting down to South Philly, that's a welcome thing for a lot of fans. I think you'd be shutting out some fans going across to Delaware and building an arena over there. And as always, I'd be critical of what the Jersey area, what the funding would be. Although it would be nice to spruce up Camden a little bit. I don't know if you're familiar with Camden, but it could use some help.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Camden. I don't visit much Camden. I know Kevin Ross, my teammate from Kansas City, Kevin Ross, is now the DB coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's from Camden, so he always tell us, man, if you come over here to visit, you better leave before the streetlights come on.
I missed out on a food joint. There's a place there that's actually supposed to be really good for cheesesteaks, believe it or not. Maybe over some of the Philly joints. A place called Donkey's. And they put their cheesesteaks on round rolls. I think, I don't know what, poppy seed. I think it's like round poppy seed rolls. That would seem a little weird to me for a cheesesteak, but it's probably good.
On a round roll? I don't know. If you cross the water with that, man, you know Philly people. They're serious about their
Right, you stand out of Pat's out front of Pat's or Geno's, you just get lit up, you get beat up. Like, get it, throw that sandwich on the ground, get the long hoagie roll. Okay, so you haven't been in town, but I know you've been watching what's going on at the Summer League with the Lakers. And man, Bronny's been getting just beat up from a rep standpoint. LeBron even worse. People are burying him, but they actually did show up yesterday. Bronny showed some signs. So, what do you think of both him, Bronny, and Dalton Knecht?
I think it's a pretty good pair. You see them the last two games, they actually been playing off each other really well, feeding each other and dishing each other. I think Knecht is a really good pick for the Lakers. And you see in the two games he's been playing with, the three games, he's just dominated everybody. I know people talk about his age, but he's just a mature guy, and that's what the Lakers need, just a guy that can shoot the rock. So Bronny James, man, I can't only imagine the pressure that young man has gone through. The media is dragging him for every layup, for every loose ball. But, you know, this kid is built for that, man. This kid's been through that all his life. And he's been able to, perform the last two games. And a lot of the critics that was really dragging him are also quiet over the last two games of his performance. But, like I said, man, the kid almost died a year ago. You know, I don't think people really put that into perspective. The kid almost died a year ago while he was at USC. And for him to be able to come back from that and then have a chance at the NBA. And shoot, if I was in the position in the NFL and I can get my son on the team, you don't think I would get my son some money in his pocket? I would do it also.
You kind of mentioned it there with Bronny. He struggled in the first couple of games, and a lot of people were extremely quick to write him off, saying that he's not a pro NBA player. But he seemed to have turned it around over these last couple games. Do you think that him not being a quote-unquote pro player is going to start going away, or are people going to need to wait until he gets into camp in September?
You just got to wait it out. Like I said, it's going to be a process. Everybody knows it's a process. The kid was drafted in the second round. When does a second-round pick in the NBA get this much scrutiny? Anyway, you know, he's probably going to play – probably the least minutes on any Laker team, any Laker game even if he gets in this season. You know, he's going to have to develop. He's going to have to earn his stripes. I guarantee you when he gets in training camp, those guys are going to be going after him. And don't think his dad is going to take it easy on him in training camp as well. So he's in a good situation. You know, they signed D'Lo back, so he's a veteran guy that he's going to have to battle with in camp as well. But like I said, he's going to have to take his lumps and bruises just like any other rookie.
Are you surprised to hear that he's one of the most bet for Rookie of the Year?
But that's just the media talking. You know, there are so many talented guys out there that can have that title. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Kinect wins it. You know, he's going to get a lot of playing time on that Laker team, and he's going to be able to have some wide-open shots. So his point total is going to be pretty good. But as far as Bronny being the MVP, he's probably not going to get in that many games to even be in that conversation.
Chef Mark is with us. Mark McMillan, former Philly Eagle, played at Alabama. We'll get to a little SEC talk here in a couple of minutes. But I want to talk about training camp. What's the look and the feel when you first get there, especially as a veteran player? And do you think it's different now, say 30 years later from when you played, not to date you, but is it different now? The first question, though, what is it like when you first got out there?
Oh, for us, man, it was brutal. You know, we were out there at Westchester University in these college dorms. You know, the beds were small, and I'm a small guy. The beds were even small for me. And, you know, it was hot in Westchester, man. And we had three-a-days. It just wasn't, you know, one day in practice. Now these guys are in shorts. You know, shorts, and it's cool out there. These guys got icebox containers that they can run into here in Las Vegas. There was nowhere to run. You have to find a tree at Westchester to cool off down there when we're in training camp.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned what the Raiders had here. Do you think they looked at the facility and said, you know, this is a little too cushy. We got to tough it out. We got to go to an older facility. Weather will be better in Costa Mesa. But do you think they looked at it with the facility and said, yeah, you know what, staying at home, coming into work, like you mentioned, the big icebox, all the other creature comforts, we can't have that. We got to toughen them up.
I think that's part of Antonio Pierce, man, to toughen these guys up. You know, you have the luxury of home. You know, that was one thing, man. I knew once I left Phoenix, Arizona, got on that plane and had to take that 76 to Westchester, it was all business. And we knew it was going to be hot. We knew it was going to be grimy. There was no luxury. There was no chefs. You know, so I think it's a really good thing that obviously it helps their fan base because the majority of their fan base is in California. But it also shows those guys like, man, we're here to, you know, to work. You know, you're not going to be going back to your cush plush, you know, the M Hotel. You know, we're going to work, and we're going to grind this thing out. And I think that's his mentality, and hopefully it works out for the best because we know, man, training camp is for to get your work in.
Mark McMillan is with us. He's back in Vegas after touring the country. I know your fall schedule is going to be crazy after the great appearance on Next Level Chef. You're starting to merchandise your stuff now. You got rub. You got barbecue sauce. I'm looking. I don't. You got. There's like a pan hanging out. And what I'm referencing here is you are at what Ace Hardware in town now at Henderson. You got a whole display. You showed the video and we retweeted it. You walk in the store and then like shortly to the right, you got a whole display there. You're selling a bunch of stuff under the Grill and McMillan brand.
Yeah, man, it's growing, man. I definitely appreciate it. The staff over there, you know, Nick and the managers, you know, they brought me on. I've been trying to get into this Ace Hardware store on Horizon Ridge. That's where it's located at in Henderson for over a year. So we, you know, we hammered the numbers out, got it right. So now my stuff is actually on shelves at Ace Hardware in Henderson, Nevada. So I'm excited about that, man. And it's a great partnership that we're going to continue to grow. The product is amazing. You've been with me since it was just starting off. And now, man, you know, like I said, being on the show and being able to grow the brand is really cool, man. So stay tuned. I got cutting boards. I got olive oils. I got a lot more stuff that's coming through the pipeline, man. So stay tuned.
Hey, Mark, I was the one who reached out to you about the Philly cheesesteak. So while you're in Henderson, make sure you check out that spot that I messaged you about.
Oh, okay. I hope it's legit, man. You know, Philly people, they're serious about their cheesesteaks, and there are a strong contingency of fans here. And two cheesesteaks places here that's supposed to be pretty good. So I would definitely try it out and give you my review. I won't put it online because I don't want to blast anybody, but I'll let you know what I think about it.
Danny, you better be right, man. There's a guy with Philly roots. You know, I sort of come from that area, Jersey, South Jersey, Central Jersey. I mean, you're a D.C. guy. You trust yourself that much on cheesesteak recommendations?
I trust myself because my fiance approves of it.
Okay.
And I trust her.
Okay. She's got a good palate. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And I have not been steered wrong no matter what sub I've gotten from there. I've tried many of them.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, Mark. Don't put her on social media saying she said this is a good cheesesteak because Philly fans will grow after her.
She'll get attacked. Mark, when you were – I think this is from when you were in the Philly area. Who is Chef Desmond? Because you put up a bunch of pictures. Where is he based and what's the restaurant? Man, I screenshotted some mac and cheese, some collard greens. Yeah. I don't know what that other thing is, but the chicken fingers look – the chicken strips look amazing. Are those – was that something different than chicken?
It was catfish, man. It was catfish. And it was here from Lolo's Chicken and Waffles. It's
nice.
right off Las Vegas Boulevard. Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, man. I've been going them for the last couple of years. They've been on the show, or the Raiders pregame live show as well with me. But Chef Daryl Schulman, dude, I did not know he was the first African American to be named Master Chef. Now there's only like 70 in the whole world, and he is one of 70 that is titled Master Chef. He didn't even tell me about it. I was like, dude, you're like one. Like, I know Gordon and all those guys, but see, he is a master chef.
He's got to put that on blast. He's going to put that on blast. Definitely to promote himself.
And I'm getting text messages, man, right now. Everybody's like, man, this is a good hit. This is a good spot. Of course, people are like, man, why are you talking about the Raiders? But I got to give the Raiders some love because we're here. So shout out to Beth. I got one in Orlando, Beth, man. She's sending text messages as well, so shout out to Beth in Orlando tuning into the show.
Beautiful. We got listeners everywhere because of Mark. It. Hey, we got to close on this. I just mentioned the word blast. Do you want to blast either Texas or Oklahoma on going into the SEC first year of play? Is either one going to struggle badly?
Texas is not going to struggle. They beat us already, so they're fine. Oklahoma... I think Oklahoma's actually done better than Texas over the last decade. So, I don't see them having a problem of moving over. Obviously, there's going to be no Kansas State on the schedule. So it's going to be a tough gauntlet for those guys to come in and be successful. I know Nick said bound to go into the title. And then one of the big offensive linemen said, one of Nick Saban's things, he said, hey, don't never listen to a guy that's sitting in the basement with a beer in his hand. And the guy came back and said, don't listen to a guy who spends his time golfing now.
A little chop busting. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, Mark, we're up against it, man. I appreciate your time, and let's get hooked up again soon, okay?
All right, appreciate it, man. Looking forward to our Football Friday again this year.
There he is, Mark McMillan, Football Fridays, yep, here at TI, just right around the corner. Believe it or not, week zero is actually August 24th, and the odds in the SEC to win the title, Texas in year one is plus 320. Oklahoma a little further down. I think that's where they belong at 30-1.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Treasure Island. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down here. Mini pork bites. I was going to say I would die for. I've never really understood that one. You don't have to die to get the mini pork bites. Or the two loco mocos. I mean, I like food. I'm not going to lay my life on the line.
No.
But they're very good.
I absolutely love food. I will not die for food.
Okay. In a little bit, we'll get to what we're doing on Wednesday on the arena with Greg Salerno when you were on. And I loved it. But it could have been considered borderline creepy. You guys were very, very excited about a couple of different food items. Let's talk a little UNLV football here, Danny, because I don't know. I don't know how your show works. So I don't know if there's ever an optimistic view on UNLV sports, but I joke. I kid because I care. Where are you coming in this season with UNLV football in terms of putting together a similar sort of season to what they just did?
What did they finish? 9-3 last season?
9-5.
Okay.
Bowl games, yep. Bowl game at the end and championship game.
So I'm going to say that they can reach that.
Yeah.
But regular season, I think maybe 8-4.
Okay.
People have gotten footage and everything.
I can't believe you said that. Nate Longshore is with us, one of the coaches. Now okay, you're on the griddle now. Coach is with us, tight ends coach with Steve Cofield and Danny. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, fellas.
I appreciate you being patient. Sorry, we had to schedule for a couple minutes earlier, so thanks for sticking with us. What's the offseason been like for you? Your tight end room certainly got beefed up a bit, so that's got to be fun.
Yeah, the guys have done a real great job attacking the offseason. And they all had kind of different goals and objectives, and they did a good job working to achieve those. I think as a tight end room, we're in a great spot moving into the season.
What was the next step for your starting tight end in Ballon guy? He really started to break through. What's the next step for him? What do you want him to work on?
So, Kaleo Ballon guy, he's just putting it all together. He's being consistent play after play. I think he transitioned well from kind of a supporting role at the beginning of last season to a playmaker and kind of a third down red zone threat at the end of the season. So if we can build on that finish and then add the kind of the mundane play after play routine plays, I think we'll be in a good spot.
What's it like watching a player like that, one, finally achieve, you know, consistency from a health standpoint? We can mention Jeff Fish, but two, as you're watching him and the season goes along and he's flashing hands like that, I wonder if you had seen that ability and you knew he was going to make some of the spectacular catches he made.
Yeah, I mean, his ball skills have always been elite. His brother is a professional basketball player in the Philippines, and he's a good basketball player as well. He actually excelled at wide receiver in high school, so that's kind of always been his calling card, is just his catch radius and ability to catch the ball. The other piece is his ability to move and have agility and be elusive and use some route tools is something he's really been working on, and I think he's primed to have a big year.
What about the health part of it with the help of Jeff Fish?
Yeah, I mean, obviously all the guys benefit significantly from having Coach Fish in the weight room and his attention to kind of overall fitness and health for the guys and longevity and keeping them on the field has been paramount for what we're trying to do.
You mentioned that the tight ends, each guy had different goals for the offseason. How do you help them achieve those goals while also having the group grow together and improve their games together?
I mean, it just comes down to specific drill work. I mean, you're not going to ask Shaq to do the same things as Kobe, but that doesn't mean they're not growing and fellowshipping together through the work. So having them, you know, some guys were gaining weight, some guys were losing weight, some guys were focused on speed and agility and, you know, different types of blocks and responsibilities. So, you know, they're still growing together at the end of the day, just kind of like across positions. But if, like I said, working on their specialties, and I'm a big believer, you know, a lot of people will tell you to work on your weaknesses, and I kind of go the other direction. I want to double down on your strengths. I want to make what you're good at. I want you to be elite, be the absolute best at something. When we need something, what are you better than anybody else that we could put on the field or anybody else we could play against? That's what I want to work on.
UNLVtickets.com is where you can grab your UNLV football ticket. Season opens up on the road against Houston, then here at the Al against Utah Tech. UNLVtickets.com, single game. You got the mini packs as well. Season tickets still available for a very low price. And Nate Longshore is with us, the tight end coach for the Rebels. I want to go back to what you said about ball skills and Kaleo and his basketball ability. You're 6'5". Did you have some b-ball ability back when you played at Cal when you were playing quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I was a basketball player first, actually. The high school coach, when I was in high school, came to a basketball game and pulled me off the basketball court and said, "Hey, I think you might be able to play football." And so basketball is my true love, and I think there's, you know, obviously a lot of correlation there from any of the sports and cross-training, and all the benefits are well-documented. But I think anytime you get a chance to do some ball handling in any sport, it's good for all of them.
All right, I wanted to make sure the proper attention was given to the basketball game. Some of the big guys, we wound up in all the other stuff we do with interviews, and you know, Caleb Herring was doing his under the helmet feature. A lot of the defensive backs from last year's team got on spots, and they just talked about being the dominant force from a position on the basketball court. So make sure you guys get some love.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, there were some good ones last year. Jackson Turner off to potentially play some professional football, but he was a guy who goes back to AAU days. All right, so I talked about the room getting beefed up, and I just mean in terms of numbers. Why did you want to bring in Christian Moore from Kansas State? He's not 6'7". He's more of that, you know, H-back size, but who is he? Why did you want him? And then what sort of flexibility does he give you at the tight end position?
Yeah, I want guys with specialties, being elite at certain skills. And I think having depth, for me, Kaleo and Christian Earls are similar frames, similar skills. You have Christian Moore, and I'd already signed Jay Beasley. And I said, okay, I want a compliment there. Hopefully someone with some experience that can teach him. And Christian Moore, from being from Southern California, I knew him when he came out and went to Kansas State. He always kind of played bigger than he was. He's not small by any stretch, but compared to the 6'7 guys, you're right, he's not that. But his leadership, his toughness, his grit, the things he brings, not just between the lines, but on the sideline and in the classroom, he's been an awesome addition to the room, and I'm excited to see what he can do for the Rebels this fall.
Now, you mentioned Beasley, true freshman, I mean, a good-sized kid, and he got some run in the spring game. Can you tell the Rebel fans out there, you know, what he's like, how he projects, and if he actually is going to get into the rotation a little bit this year?
Absolutely. He'll be in the mix. He's everything we thought. I think we did a really good, him being local, we were able to get a really thorough eval on him. And he loves football. And, you know, it's hard to find guys. They're all being pulled in a million different directions. And finding guys that truly love every aspect of football is getting more and more rare. So having him, I mean, I would say he was a better linebacker in high school. You know, he probably played 90% of his snaps on the defensive side of the ball. But I could tell by the way he moved and he played that he was going to be able to do what we wanted him to do on offense. And between that and his leadership characteristics and the high standard he holds for himself, I knew he'd be a perfect fit for what we wanted to do.
Camp opens up in just a couple weeks, right? Right at the beginning of August?
Absolutely. T-minus 14 days for these guys, yep.
You fired up. The players fired up. Got a lot of new players in, too, over the summer. There were more guys coming in as transfers. So very exciting. We talked to Barry Odom last week, and he expects a lot out of the transfer portal and the returnees. So, Nate Longshore, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you. There he is, tight end coach Nate Longshore. Was actually one of two holdovers from the Arroyo staff. They liked him so much. He was so well-regarded. I don't know what he weighs now. He's got to be 270 pounds. He's not fat. He's 6'5", 270. He played quarterback at Cal. But he's developed. And Balloon Guy was really good last year. He became a really reliable third down piece. And Gio Fowler was a good tight end, a good pass catcher. But he was also, you know, 6'2", 250. You're now seeing tight ends. And this kid's 6'7", 265. More 6'2", like 250. He's more of an H-back. You're seeing that position develop in terms of depth and size. And it's, think about all the pieces they have, Danny.
Right.
Like, it could be an afterthought. It's not. But now they have Ricky White back, number one receiver yards-wise returning in the country. Mm-hmm. Jacob DeJesus is an All-American from a return standpoint. He had, like, 50 catches and 650 last year. He's developing. Now they got a 6'3 guy outside, a Texas transfer, in Casey Kane. You're like, oh, let's double outside on one of those guys, right? Or maybe double, pay a little more attention to DeJesus over the middle of the field. Oh, crap, there's a 6'7", 265 tight end we got to pay attention to.
Yeah, and we saw Belunga be able to move last year during the Air Force game. I believe he almost took one to the house. I think he ran probably about 40, 50 yards and ended up getting caught inside the 10. But he was rewarded. He got a touchdown later that game, and so we know he can. I might have to change my prediction.
Like a big Rebels chant going on in the background. Well, not really. Someone's chanting. All right, we'll come back here. T.I. on a Friday. Patrick Berbert's going to be with us in about 40 minutes. Tell us about the goings-on here at Treasure Island on another big weekend.
Chase the biscuit. Chase the goodness of the biscuit.
I mean, good stuff, right? Biscuit with honey, yes. Chicken wings with honey, not so sure. The hot honey drizzle on pizza, that's a big trend. I'm not all the way in, but there you go. She's, by the way, that lady's a little bit older, very sexy when she talks about the honey sauce.
That might have been one of the best songs I've ever heard.
It's so good. It's so good. You guys need it if the arena is just going to turn into, like, food porn discussion. The arena's on every Wednesday leading into Cofield and Company from 2 to 3 on ESPN Las Vegas. You need a song like that. So I was listening the other day, Danny, and Danny was on. You guys started talking about chicken parm and then, like, what kind of pasta you like. I was like, what is happening here? And I brought up something, and the audience was here, and Griffin was here. I brought up the movie Fatso. So Fatso is a movie from 1980. It features Dom DeLuise, who's trying to lose weight, and they're like, he and his friends, who are fellow fatties, are going hardcore, and it's a comedy. And they have a scene where they start getting worked up because they're all dieting, right? And they're sitting in a kitchen, and literally on the kitchen cabinets where a lot of the food is, they've got it chained up, right? But they start talking about food, and they start getting all worked up like, guys, this is not a good move, right? They're remembering what they used to be able to eat. Fire this.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
I like to stuff a jelly donut with Reese's peanut butter cup, then put it in a warm oven and let the chocolate and everything melt into the dough.
Yeah. That's what that show felt like. So, in like 3 minutes in that scene, they're like, okay, you know what? We can cheat a little bit. We got some tea here. Let's get some honey. So these guys like the honey, but it can start getting like real aggressive, and they've got one gatekeeper, Dom DeLuise's brother, right? Who's like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And the biggest of the fatties gets up, and it's on.
Get the honey. Get the honey.
Yeah. The biggest guy then proceeds to rip the cabinets. The cabinet doors off the cabinets. So this is you guys yesterday as you start talking chicken parm, and I'm like, what is going on here with, like, Fatso the radio show?
But now, as I've gotten older, my Italian food has gone towards chicken parmesan.
I used to love chicken parm. I still do. But lately I've been on a chicken marsala kick.
Okay.
Which is just, oh, so good. There's one at the hotel I'm at. What kind of pasta is your favorite kind of pasta? This is the stupidest conversation we've ever had. But
it is dumb, but it's also great at the same time.
I'm asking for a reason, though.
My favorite type of pasta? I don't know if I have one.
You had time to think about this. Did you go home, do some research, think about it?
I did not.
Well, Greg knew where he was going. And I'm telling you, this is basically a radio sequel of that 1980 Fatso movie. Keep going with Salerno.
See, I used to love spaghetti, and I still do.
Okay.
But I've been getting on this kick with, like, rigatoni, anything tube-shaped.
Okay.
Because you can put food in it. Like, as you're eating, the sauce gets, like, caught in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And I notice, or if you're eating chicken or something, a little piece of chicken, you can put, like, in the tube. And then while you're eating, it's like a little, it's almost like a Reese's cup of food.
So do you like stuffed shells?
I don't like ragout that much.
Okay, we'll get to the ragout in a second. But, I mean, is he sharing a brain with that movie? With the Reese's cups inside,
it sounds
like
it.
The jelly donut, the you know, the pasta with some meat in it, the tubular pasta with some meat in it. It's like a Reese's.
I was listening to your show yesterday while I was at the gym, and when you mentioned the line about sucking the jelly out of the donut, I almost fell off the treadmill. I started actually giggling so hard.
I think I did. I think I did a pretty good impression of it, too.
Yes, I believe you did, yes.
Well, I don't know if everyone knows the movie, but it's sick, but it's very, very funny.
And I will say, when you're on a diet and once you just take a peek, that peek, it opens the doors
and
the floodgates are done.
No, you can't do it. I'm making a little bit of effort. Like, I love late night eating. I got to stop, though. And I would say like two nights a week, I will get up and like look around the kitchen, look in the fridge, and I'm like, stop it. Stop it right now.
Get me a snack, Junior, now.
There's no Junior in my house, so.
That's how I am, too. I love snacking. Have you ever seen, I think it's My 500-Pound Life or 600-Pound Life, something like that?
I don't want to watch those. Is it decent? I can't do that.
Well, not the show itself. It's whatever. But there's a doctor on there, and he is as blunt as possible, and he will tell you straight to your face, you've eaten enough. You can stop for a month. You're done. Don't eat. Yeah. Like, he is that blunt.
Hardcore fasting?
Oh, yeah. So my fiance got a magnet of his face, and it says, you're bored, you're not hungry, close the fridge. And she put it right next to the handle on the fridge.
There's a lot of pressure at home.
Yeah.
So like I said, that Fatso scene reminded me of what you guys were talking about. So give me the second arena cut again.
See, I used to love spaghetti, and I still do.
Okay.
But I've been getting on this kick with like rigatoni, anything tube-shaped.
Okay.
Because you can put food in it. Like, as you're eating, the sauce gets, like, caught in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And I noticed, or if you're eating chicken or something, a little piece of chicken you can put, like, in the tube. And then while you're eating, it's like a little, it's almost like a Reese's cup of food.
So do you like stuffed shells?
I don't like ragout that much.
Yeah, it's weird. When I listened to it live, I didn't hear the groaning and moaning, so I don't know what happened there.
But I don't know.
Interesting. Oh, the Vast Sound crew. Very creative. Very creative. I am glad that you kind of... You should have snapped on him on the ragout stuff and the manicot or manigut stuff. I think he was showing off a little bit.
Just the way he was saying it?
Yeah, with the, you know, he's fired at mozzarella.
He did follow that up with, I know, I'm from that area.
I can't
say
it any other way. You can. If you're with someone who you don't think is going
to
understand it, you can pain yourself to say mozzarella.
Well, no, I knew what he was saying, and that's why, like, right after that, I was like, oh, you don't like ricotta.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not. I heard you do it. I like that. You backed him down a little bit. It's not. It's when your blood is flowing with the Sunday gravy, and your body fat percentage is like over 20%. Doing ragout isn't quite the flex you think it is.